Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Shot clock down to 7. There's a minute left in regulation. Crossover by Donovan. Great play by Horford. He knocked the ball away. Here comes Brown for Rafeth Collison. Outside it goes. Tatum, 3.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Maybe he'll try to play him physically and then steps back, steps in front of him, but Harden with a step back and hits. So Harden from downtown, that's his fourth. He's 4 for 7.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Brought up by Landeskog. In comes Landeskog for Soderberg. Brendan and shoot.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this marvelous Thursday afternoon.
Woo!
75 and sunny.
Let's go. I told you it was going to be nice today.
Mario Cristobal coming up in about 10 minutes. It's going to be a good day, good show. Got good vibes today. I got some solid meditation in this morning.
Okay.
And I found your chi.
You found your zen.
Well, I've always kind of been a meditation guy. I do find it helps. Normally, I do it at night.
Easy, Jack Dorsey.
Well,
you do a couple hours every morning. Make sure you're centered.
Let's calm down with that, all right? Let's not go too far here. I'd take 10-12 minute meditation.
There you go.
But I was thinking, I had chicken wings today for lunch.
Yes, you did.
We have no sauce in our fridge ever.
No, there's no, we're a sauceless office.
It's a raspberry spread or sriracha.
Sure.
And sriracha can be okay if you have no other options, right? Yeah. I like sriracha.
There's salad dressings in there.
Yeah, vinaigrette. I don't need vinaigrette.
That's not going to get it
done. That's not doing it for wings.
So with that said, I thought, you know what? I am the cheapest guy probably in this building.
That's a fair assessment, although Marcus Greaves still owes me $100, so at this point, does he take that label from you?
But he's poor.
But, yeah.
He's poor.
He's poor.
I would say...
You could have had a $5 payment plan per month, and that thing would have been almost paid off by now.
The only guy...
That was in October.
The juice is still flowing, so...
The only guy that could rival me for cheapest in this building is probably the man to my right.
No, Souk.
Dropped like $3,000 on a bag.
Yeah, you can't be labeled cheap if you spend that much on a bag.
When you go to like Belize and Costa Rica you're not cheap.
Not cheap.
You're just spending your money differently.
Sure.
It might be swag, but I will take the crown and wear it.
Okay.
That being said, I came to the conclusion having chicken wings today, I'm going to take it upon myself. I'm going to go buy like 6 to 7 sauces for this building. Now, this is the tough part.
You're going to be the sauce guy.
Yeah. What sauces do you buy? Let's dwindle this down to 4.
Okay.
Now, don't give me dressings. Don't blue cheese.
No.
Those don't count.
I think you need some sort of barbecue sauce.
Yes.
Generic.
A sweet and a hot.
Yeah. And generic. Just your run-of-the-mill hot, your run-of-the-mill sweet.
So 3 barbecue sauces? 3 different?
Just
plain,
2.
Hot, sweet?
I don't know that you need hot. If you're going to have hot, just get hot sauce. Get either sriracha or Frank's or Tabasco or something.
But spicy barbecue is delicious.
Is this just under the consideration that people are bringing wings into?
Here,
like what other things are we thinking?
Burgers or a hot dog or something. I don't know.
You can add Tabasco to the barbecue sauce and make it hot.
You can. And you can mix it up. You can stir it.
Okay. So just 2 barbecue sauces.
Yeah. I think you need some sort of Asian flair teriyaki-based sauce.
Now, Nepper says sweet and sour, but I said the only sweet and sour I've ever liked is either at a Chinese restaurant or McDonald's.
Who makes a good sweet and sour that's at a store that you go buy off a shelf?
Yeah. They do. McDonald's does have good sweet and sour sauce.
So do Chinese restaurants.
They do, yeah.
That red, oh, man, you sprinkle that red on everything.
I think sweet and sour is a good plan, though.
Okay.
And to be fair, I haven't tried that many different sweet and sour sauces. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sampling sweet and sour. So you might be able to find one at a regular grocery store that's solid.
Okay.
Outside of your just getting a ton of packets of McDonald's sweet and sour sauce.
I think, obviously, a good flavored hot sauce. Like, Tabasco you can throw in, but there's really not a ton of flavor.
Yeah, a good quality hot sauce.
Like aardvark is a polarizing hot sauce. Some people love aardvark. Some people don't like it. Maybe I do an aardvark.
Other than that, I really don't think you need that much more.
So is that really it?
Now, if we want to go...
Is there ranch in there? You probably need ranch. But that's...
See, I'd much rather have blue cheese than ranch if I'm going
I'm not eating either of them, but I'm trying to...
Do we have ketchup and mustard for the simple folk out
there?
There's a ketchup, there's no mustard.
Aren't sauces.
Well, no, I know. I'm just saying for condiments, because you brought up burgers and hot dogs. Right? I mean, that falls in that category.
You have a burger to warm up?
Sure.
Or maybe you're a weirdo that likes ketchup and steak.
Then you shouldn't be able to eat steak. Well, but that's a whole other conversation.
Those people are real.
A lot of milk.
Somebody said Carolina mustard.
Ooh, Carolina mustard's a good... I'm a big mustard guy.
See, now, wait, somebody chime in with garlic sauce. I don't know about that one. I don't know if we want garlic breath running around the office.
That's not universal.
Now, I love garlic.
Is it a bad thing to have as an option, though?
In an office, yes.
Because garlic will make me fart.
I
can't do garlic.
Well, you need to combat farts? Him. Yeah. You know, you need a little more fair in the wars in there in that studio.
Yeah, I know. That's a good point. But I'm trying to think of the whole building here of...
Yeah, I say no. I say you go with your basic barbecue sauce. It's probably a normal kind of a honey and a spicy.
So three
barbecues. I think you go three barbecues to make sure everybody's happy in that camp. I think you go with a quality hot sauce.
Yep.
A little bit thicker, a little bit more of a kick, some good flavor to
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I think you throw some mustard into that bad boy.
Like a different mustard.
Yeah. You could do a classy mustard, if you will.
Okay.
Maybe a Dijon. For the folks who like the Dijon out there.
Okay.
That seems like about it for me. Maybe a sweet and sour. I think everybody goes home happy.
Sweet and sour, and I hope it doesn't suck. Good to know that we got the sauces down. I got to go purchase those. The building needs it. We got a loaded show. Let's find out what's on tap.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on tap, brought to you in the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Mario Cristobal is going to join the show here in about 10 minutes. This spring game is this weekend. It starts at 10:30 a.m. Parking lot will open.
Yeah, the game doesn't start at 10:30 a.m.
I know, but I'm saying gates will open 11:30 for baseball.
It's all free too. They're asking for a couple of canned food items to get in. Parking's free, the whole thing, man.
They are, as Dirt mentioned, looking for canned items. There'll be an Easter egg hunt on the HDC practice fields for kids.
Should I go dominate the dojo out there?
I think you should shove some kids out with your hips.
Yeah, a little hip check into the glass. Yeah.
There's going to be a...
Go get some Easter eggs.
Just fart. They'll fall over.
Bring it, Billy!
There's going to be an F-15 flyover by the Oregon National Guard, which is pretty badass. And then 2:07, the spring game will kick off. So that'll be here. The Fan, we'll have a bunch of coverage at 1080thefan.com, the Facebook page, Twitter account, all of that. Cristobal will hop on with us coming up here soon to talk about it. We've got two stops to make at the Daily Ticker, and I think you guys are going to enjoy both stops.
Okay.
We haven't had a two-stop ticker in a while. The Oregon spring game itself, I don't really want to break down X's and O's outside of coach.
Yeah, that's tough to do for a spring game.
I have found remarkable Oregon's ability to make the spring game matter here. Because usually we don't ever care about spring games. Oregon State will show you the attendance when they have theirs.
Sure.
And I feel like he is trying to set up to be what it is in the South. It's everybody has to go. This is the spring game. This is the big deal. And some of that has to do with talent, wins and losses, of course. But I feel like that's part of cultivating this culture that he has started down there as the head coach, is making it matter.
It's a big recruiting weekend for him, too. I mean, there's like four or five five-star guys coming into town. There's a ton of ex-players that they're inviting in. You're right. He's making it a big deal.
We got NBA playoffs. We got some NFL to get to. Swags, plums. We have a loaded show. That's what's on tap here on The Fan. Coming up next, Mario Cristobal, the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, will join us. Their spring game is this weekend. We'll ask how spring practice has been going, what to be looking for in the spring game, and the expectations put on Oregon now that a lot of guys are coming back. Mario Cristobal is next. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Lonely as I
well, it's normally the time that we break in the first segment, so this is a little awkward.
Look at us ahead of the clock today. Minding our P's and Q's. I do at some point in the show need to bring up, I don't know if this is real or not.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Drake picture?
It's fake.
Okay, that is fake?
Yeah,
okay.
I was led to believe that's a Photoshop.
Okay. I'm not hip with the scene. I just saw the picture online and I wasn't sure.
I saw it yesterday and somebody had found it and that's how I saw it. And they said, this is a clear Photoshop.
Okay, good. Because there's a picture circulating of Drake wearing a Damian Lillard jersey. And if there's anything that could screw up our mojo right now,
right.
I would think it's Drake jumping on the Blazers bandwagon.
Look, Drake is Drake. He can do and say anything he wants. It's a weird look to me when dudes take selfies in the mirror rocking jerseys.
I think what's
the purpose of that photo?
I think dudes taking selfies.
I'm here. I'm Drake.
Taking any kind of selfie is weird.
I thought that was very, very odd.
Can we get a post-workout Sprague selfie every day?
No.
No, you don't want to do that?
No. No.
Just got done getting yoked, bro.
Like, if you see me shirtless, it'll be somebody else taking a picture.
Sure, and you're at the beach or something.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
turn around.
Hey, I'm here.
It's
hey, around the coast. Here we go. Yeah. The guys that go in their bathrooms to take the mirror selfie.
Yeah, that's a
good
point.
Is that for if you're not sending that to your lady?
That's a really good point, whether he's wearing the jersey or not. Just the fact that he took that picture initially, not a great sign.
Well, also, if that's Photoshopped, so does that mean he was shirtless and he took a mirror selfie in the bathroom?
Could have been a Raptors jersey.
Could have been
a Kyle Lowry kind of thing. Could have been a Kentucky jersey. Like he spreads out who he roots for.
I think he's gone Alabama, Kentucky.
Oh, he does them all. Yeah. Yeah.
And at this point, it's more, I think, for comedic value from him. Like, I think he knows that people are aware he's a jinx.
That the Drake jinx is real.
Yeah. So I think he purposely does it. It was like when he rocked the AFC, NFC teams on the shirt. You remember that picture?
I do remember that. Yeah.
He goes, good luck to all of you now.
Everybody's screwed.
And we were all like, oh, we're all going to lose somehow and have no Super Bowl. I think he's well aware, and that's the cool thing about him. Like, would I ever do the selfie in the mirror? No, but having fun with it, at least I can respect that.
Well, you calmed me down a little bit, because I did see that last night and this morning, and a lot of people were tweeting it out, and I wanted to make sure. Like, we are cursed as an organization.
Right.
The last thing we need is more of a curse, right when we're starting to feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
And if we were to lose, or they were to lose tomorrow night, I'm ready to point the finger at Drake, if that's the case.
Yeah. So. All right, well, the Oregon spring game this weekend, it's going to be a lot of festivities down in Eugene. The kickoff is going to start at 2:07, a cool F-15 flyover, Easter egg hunt on the field. It's going to be fantastic. A lot of coverage, as we mentioned, here on 1080 The Fan, and joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline to give us a lowdown on spring football. The game itself is the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Mario Cristobal. Coach, thanks for joining us. Haven't talked to you in a while, so congrats on the bowl win, the recruiting class, and everything that's been going on with you guys down there. I want to start with the transfer, Juwan Johnson, because I've been reading about him a lot, and there is an excitement and buzz with this kid. He looks like a bodybuilder. He's out there, I guess, just catching footballs left and right. What do you make of the impact he has made since he's joined you guys in Eugene?
Well, you know, he's only been here a couple of weeks, but it didn't take him long to not only fit in, but also excel. I think the best part about him, honestly, is his work ethic and his mentality, because, you know, I did know Juwan a few years back when I was at another place in the recruiting process, and always knew he had that ability. What I didn't recognize at the time was his character, his work ethic, his desire to be great, his drive and determination. And he's done a great job fitting in so far and has made some really good plays.
Yeah, I think the cool part about spring games for fans is to get a chance to see, you know, some of these new guys and new faces, and some of the younger kids get to play a lot. And not everybody is there early and enrolled early, but how nice is that for you as a coach to have a lot of these big-time kids from this past recruiting class already on campus, already, you know, getting ready, practicing with the team, and now you get to see them in a spring game?
No, it's a tremendous advantage. It's very impactful. We have 11 guys here right now. 11 new bodies. That's not counting some of the new walk-ons we've had as well. So right away, the level of competition goes up. We did recruit a very impressive class. And I credit our players with helping us get that done, because these guys came here primarily because of their relationships that they built with our players. And again, what they see in the future at Oregon. But right away, their presence has been felt. They were welcomed by the older guys, which credit to them for mentoring them and guiding them. And I mean, they're just natural football players that want to help Oregon be great. And so it's been great. They have a tremendous advantage, and actually we'll have another dozen of our signees at the spring game, so we'll get a firsthand look of what the expectation is.
Well, and Coach, we're talking with Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks head coach. It feels like, and we've talked a lot with you about the culture and everything that you're trying to shape down there in Eugene. You know, over the years growing up here, the spring games and stuff like that didn't really so much matter. It wasn't a big importance, I think, for a lot of sports fans, even if they were fans of those teams. But I feel like you have cultivated and you're shifting kind of this nature of the spring game matters. It's really important. And we've seen throughout different parts of the country, as have you for so long around football, how much it is a big deal for people. And it feels like you guys are starting to really captivate that with the crowd, with the fans this weekend. Just do you feel that? Do you feel that you have shifted it now where Oregon fan is putting on the calendar, we have to go to the spring game now?
Oh, without a doubt. It's important that we give our fans a chance to see us. I mean, that's always at the forefront of a lot of things because, again, our appreciation for them and how they rock this stadium. And, look, we get to appreciate the military and what they have done, what they always do. And we so many times take it for granted. So that's an honor in itself. We get to honor the men's and women's basketball teams and the other sports that are doing so well, mm-hmm. That have done so well. We get to welcome back alumni. We get to welcome in signees and new prospects and recruits. And we get to have our families here on our Easter weekend. And on top of all that, the purpose of spring ball is to get better. We get one more opportunity to compete in a game atmosphere, in a game setting, in front of people. I mean, some of these high school guys, largest crowd they played to get in front of has been a couple hundred people. They're going to walk out there in front of 30-plus thousand and hopefully more. And you know what? That's preparation for the season. So we can't get enough of this stuff.
Yeah. And on top of that, Coach, I'm just curious because everybody asks kind of gives you a different answer. But as a head coach now going into your second spring game here at Oregon, what are the things you look for? Like when you're getting ready for a Saturday, you're taking notes on the side or you're watching the film. What are you looking for from your guys on Saturday?
I'm looking for the entire culture to elevate and take another step up. We look for our guys to understand our processes clearly and to have an intolerance for anything that doesn't uphold those processes. We look for our guys to have an attention to detail and play with an effort and technical and fundamental aspect that's unmatched. And we expect betterment of ourselves as coaches. I mean, as coaches, we travel all over the country, making sure that we find the nuggets, the tidbits, the technicalities and the schematic advantages we can to bring back for spring ball. And we apply them. We apply our off-season program, our fourth quarter program, and we expect to be competitive right away in our spring game and see results.
Well, and I know you guys lost Dylan, but you guys had two big obvious guys returning here and Troy Dye and Justin Herbert wanting to come back. You're returning a loaded roster and guys with a bunch of experience and mixing in the young core and the transfer players, Coach. Have you felt like you have seen and identified that these players and this team feels the expectations rise because of how many guys are coming back and what you are looking for next season versus what you guys built upon last season?
I think what our guys see more clear are the goals that we have set for ourselves and a clear understanding of how you achieve those goals. And those goals have absolutely everything to do with what happens within the walls of our place and absolutely nothing with what takes place outside. I mean, we have a work ethic that we feel is unmatched. And we're going to continue to make that stronger and better and demand more of each other. And we're going to understand each other better. We're taking more time to know each other as people, to take a deeper dive into our players and coaches and build the relationships that make this thing real and genuine and powerful. So I think all those things are just part of the, you know, I mean, everyone sees the recruiting aspect and the player aspect and the talent aspect. But in this thing, we're nurturing and cultivating that, but so much more. But we want to make sure that we continue to elevate our standards, our culture, our talent levels at every position. And you know, we've made a lot of We've grown a lot. We've made a lot of improvement in that aspect, but we still want more and more.
Yeah. Well, and on top of seeing a lot of new young players, Coach, the fans are going to get a chance to see a new defensive scheme. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since you hired a new defensive coordinator, Andy Avalos. So we had him on the show, and he seems like a pretty stand-up guy, and we really enjoyed the conversation with him. What went into that thought process, and what about him stood out? And then how do you think the guys on the defensive side of the ball, some of them who had been in Jim Leavitt's defense for a couple of years, how do you think they've adjusted so far to their new defensive coordinator?
They've done a great job. I think, you know, we all understand that we always got to get better. We always got to elevate. And, you know, Andy struck us as a guy that, you know, has such a tremendous knowledge of how to tie in the front seven with the back end, you know, how to be able to create multiple issues for offenses, obviously created for us and has been doing it in his conference for a little while now. So as a person, just off the charts, great family. Actually, his wife and his kids just got here, and, you know, just he's an all-in guy, which I think is so important. And I think the players have felt it. They've responded in a strong manner. And our defensive players, they expect nothing but to continue to elevate. And our players are clearly understanding that we have some unbelievable opportunities and challenges that go with the season. And it requires every second of every day and our attention to make sure that we improve and get better.
Yeah, we're talking with the head coach of Oregon football, Mario Cristobal. He is our guest now. The Oregon spring game this weekend, Saturday, 2:07 is kickoff. They have a cool flyover Easter egg hunt for the families out there. They are asking if you guys can bring canned items, please donate. They're trying to raise food, obviously. Appreciate the military and the successful teams that they've had down there in Eugene thus far. Coach, Justin Herbert announced that he was going to come back, and I think a lot of Duck fans are just celebrating and get pumped for one more year with Justin. What have you seen in him in spring football as just a guy that you've been around now for a few seasons, the growth from where you first saw him to where he is and the leader he is now?
He's the ultimate player and teammate, and mainly because he's never satisfied and wants more of himself, and he's going to demand it. And, you know, we're going to make sure that we get everything, that he gets everything he wants out of this extra year along with his teammates. He's a team guy, and that's always at the forefront. And you know what? I know what he wants and the rest of the players want. They want to see a packed up stadium. They want to see a full house. They want to show their appreciation by the way they play and take the field. And one thing that I got to do a better job of is to get out there. Our players love our fans. Like our guys, when they go home to their respective states and cities, they are just decked out in Duck gear top to bottom. I mean, they live, die, and breathe this university, this community, and our fans. So we want to have a great time with our fans. And, it's kind of like a practice for them, you know, get them ready for the season to bring it for an awesome stadium.
Yeah. Get you out of here on this one, Coach. I know a lot of people are looking forward to the spring game this weekend. Have you purchased your Garth Brooks tickets yet? And if you did, are we going to see you rocking a cowboy hat at that concert?
Blame it all on my roots, right?
Friends in low places, Coach. Friends in low places.
They are always important, no doubt.
Absolutely. Mario Cristobal, the head coach of Oregon football. He gets ready for the spring game this week and Saturday, 2:00. Head down to Eugene. Go catch it. All of the great coverage they're going to have with the other teams, the military appreciation, the flyover. Bring some canned food items as well. Coach, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy this weekend, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Go Ducks.
There we go. Mario Cristobal, the head coach of Oregon football, their spring game this weekend.
And a lot of new things to check out this weekend. I think that's as a fan, that's always what you're looking for. You know the returning guys. You've seen them play a lot. Herbert and Dine, Jordan Scott. Some of these guys have been around for a couple of years now. But you get a chance to check out a lot of new freshmen playing their first ball. And as he mentioned, 11 guys from this past recruiting class already there participating. Juwan Johnson, the grad transfer. And then I think an interesting note that's going to linger over fall camp and early in the season is a new defensive coordinator. That's a big change. Jim Leavitt was a respected D coordinator. Maybe some didn't think the defense lived up to the hype last year. You made a change at that coaching spot, and it's going to be a whole new defensive scheme this year. So there's a lot of new angles to check out, and I think that's the fun part about spring football.
Yeah, I think two things you mentioned there, Juwan Johnson and what he looks like, and Kayvon Thibodeau. Because I believe he came early, right?
He's down there. Yeah, he's
so
there.
So seeing the impact he can make in his first spring game, being in Autzen, I'm sure it's going to be close to sold out, if not sold out. Those are two things I would be circling if I was an Oregon fan,
Well, I'll say this, too. As somebody who went to Oregon, I remember going to the spring game. It was a day to go drink in the middle of April. Right. If you got a sunny day, it was fun, and you enjoyed it. As a fan, I love what they've turned the spring game into. I love it being a kind of halfway point between the end of the year and the start of the year, where it's just a fun day to go hang out at the stadium. You're going to have recruits there, former players, and turning it into an actual real game atmosphere is a great thing to do for the fans, and it's free. A lot of people can't afford to go to games.
Right.
Now you get a chance to go to one for free.
I do want to talk about that after the Daily Ticker is him creating importance of the spring game. This guy's from Miami. He coached Alabama for many years.
They take it seriously down there.
It's a religion. It's church. You know, it's everybody goes and they don't miss it. We haven't always had that here in the state with either program, and I think he is really aiming to make this a huge deal. I want to talk about that a little bit later, but coming up next, the Daily Ticker, two stops to make. I think you guys will enjoy them. We'll do that next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Daily Ticker time here on The Fan. Two stops to make. The first one, we go over to Ohio. The MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline travels to Tim Bielik. Cleveland.com, he wrote a good story on the Blue Jackets of Columbus upsetting Tampa Bay, the historic team this year, losing in the first round and getting swept. Tim, thanks for taking a couple minutes with us here out here in the Northwest. I'm not going to claim to know much about hockey, but I know how big of a story this was. How shocked is the Blue Jacket Nation over there that they were able to pull this upset off?
I'd say pretty shocked. I mean, this is a team that in their history had never won a playoff series. They had to scrap and claw their way just to get into the playoffs, and then going up against a Tampa Bay team that had not only swept them in the regular season, but were dominant in doing so. I think the regular season margin was a score of like 17-3, and then they go down 3-0 in the first period of game one. I think for most Blue Jackets fans, it'd be pretty natural to not feel good about your chances. And then all of a sudden, they turn it around and have a 5-1 blowout in game two, a 3-1 win in game three, and then finish them off on Tuesday night in game four. I think it's pretty safe to say that they not only shocked the people around here in Columbus, but just all around the United States and Canada as well.
Yeah. Well, and the fun part about talking about Columbus here in Portland is we got a connection with you guys, with Oliver Bjorkstrand, Seth Jones, Brandon Dubinsky, all playing for Columbus and playing well in that series. For those who haven't followed, update the fans on three former Portland Winterhawks and how they're playing so far this year.
You betcha. Well, Seth Jones had the game-winning goal in game one. He also had a big goal in game number four. Bjorkstrand has been tremendous. He's really, I think, come along in the last couple of months of the season. And Brandon Dubinsky doesn't have a point, but what he's done is he's got some key faceoff wins. He's on that fourth line right now, just making some defensive things happen back there.
Yeah. Tim Bielik, our guest, Cleveland.com. Blue Jackets coverage here as they beat the Lightning in round one and upset them. Not only beat them, they just beat them down. They swept them. Sometimes in hockey, you get these feel-good Cinderella stories, these teams coming out of nowhere, have an upset, and they go on a run. Does it feel like that this team has that it factor going into the next series?
You never say never in hockey, and there's an interesting stat. I believe the Blue Jackets are the fourth team in the history of the NHL to sweep the President's Trophy winner in a best-of-seven series, the first one to do it in the first round. The others have won the Stanley Cup, and for a team that to go from never having won a playoff series to all of a sudden you're in a club where the other teams have won the Stanley Cup, it's got to be a pretty significant leap for Blue Jackets fans. In the next round, they'll get either Boston or Toronto. That series is going at least six games after the Bruins won last night in game number four. So it's a chance for the Jackets to rest up a couple days, back on the practice ice tomorrow, and really just, you know, kind of watch along with the rest of us to see who comes out of that series.
There we go. Good stuff. Tim Bielik, Cleveland.com. The Blue Jackets going to round two after a big upset against Tampa Bay. Tim, thanks so much for the insight and info and joining us, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
There we go. We carry on the Daily Ticker now, and we head down south because last weekend was Auburn's spring football game.
Oh, look at that.
We got Oregon's spring football game this weekend. I thought it'd be nice to touch bases with Auburn, and joining us to talk Auburn football on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline is Philip Marshall, Auburn Undercover, the 24/7 sports website. Philip, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. I think the biggest thing Duck fans curious about, because they face off on August 31st, is who's going to be quarterback for the Auburn Tigers. And I did my research. We have four names that I can read off, but it really might boil down to two. Joey Gatewood, Bo Nix, Malik Willis, and Cord Sandberg. How does this quarterback race go, in your opinion?
Well, I think most people would say that, to be fair, Gus Malzahn hasn't said, but I think most people, almost everyone, is the opinion that it's a two-man race between Bo Nix and Joey Gatewood. Neither of whom, Bo Nix, of course, is a true freshman. He's early enrollee and five-star kid. And Joey Gatewood played a few snaps against Purdue in the Music City Bowl when it was about like a 49-point game. And that's all he's played. So whoever plays, assuming it's one of those two, and I think that's a safe assumption,
yeah,
is essentially going to be playing for the first time.
Well, and we're always curious about the perception out here on the West Coast and what people think of Pac-12 football and stuff. And Auburn's a unique situation where you guys opened with Washington last year. You beat them, and then the Huskies go on to win the Pac-12 championship. And then this year, obviously, it's Oregon. So when Oregon shows up as the opener, and now we're a couple of months away, and that's the next game for both teams, what's the conversation like down there? Like, what do Auburn fans and media members, what are people saying about that matchup and their thoughts on Oregon football?
Well, you know, the Washington game last year was a very close game. Auburn scored late to win it. It could have gone the other way really quite easily. So, you know, Auburn's season last year was not what people expected it to be or wanted it to be. And I think there's a lot of respect for Oregon, particularly the quarterback. And when you've got a potential first-round guy quarterback on one side and a rookie on the other, that's obviously an advantage for the team with the first round draft choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think anyone expects anything except a real battle.
Yeah. Philip Marshall, our guest, the 24/7 Auburn website is what he runs. We're talking Auburn. Their spring game was last weekend. You know, Philip, I think a lot of people are jacked for this game. It's going to be played in Dallas. It's a great opening game, I think, for both fan bases because of the Power Five conferences and just the name recognition of both brands. How many players are coming back for Auburn? I'm going from a real uneducated standpoint here of people who may not be following Auburn football. How many players coming back from both sides of the ball for Auburn this year?
Well, I just have to kind of go through it real quick. I don't know an exact number. The entire offensive line returns. There's the left tackle, Prince Tego Wanagohu, is a potential high draft pick who is a junior, and the other four are all fifth-year seniors, and they got a couple other guys that have started some, so that they feel good there. Wide receiver should be a strength. Schultz is probably the fastest guy in college football. If he's not, he's in the conversation, and he didn't participate in spring practice because he was running track. But he'll be a key guy. Eli Stove had a knee injury last year and missed all last season. Very fast guy. He's back. Probably the main receiver is Seth Williams. He had a really good year as a freshman last year. Big, strong, tall guy. Can really jump. Chance to be a really big time player. And as I already told you about the quarterbacks, running back, Booby Whitlow, who was their main guy last year, but then was in and out of the lineup, hurt the second half of the season, had a really good spring. DJ Williams is a true freshman who was an early enrollee who really looks like to be a big explosive guy. He's an interesting story. He was really hardly recruited for most of last fall, and then suddenly it blew up, and in a matter of weeks, he had offers from Auburn, Miami, Florida, LSU, Georgia, and Auburn kind of got in on him first, and they got him. So I think there's a chance he's gonna be an early contributor. Mm. The defensive line could be one of the best they've ever had here. Really, they thought they would probably lose Derrick Brown, and he didn't go, and they thought they might lose Marlon Davidson, and he didn't go. They got a lot of experience in the secondary and depth. There's kind of mostly new linebackers. KJ Britt is the middle linebacker replacing Deshaun Davis, who was their kind of the anchor of their defense last year, and they really like him a lot. I think they feel good about their linebackers, though at least KJ has played a good bit, but the other two haven't played much. And but they feel good. Kevin still believes, who incidentally he and Mario Cristobal are extremely good friends from their days at Alabama together. He feels really good about his defense. I think Auburn really, when you look at it, they seem pretty well set most everywhere except no experience at quarterback, which right. is a big exception. And interestingly, I just saw a few minutes ago the ESPN FPI preseason top 10, and I'm not a big analytics guy, probably because I'm old, but Auburn was 9 and Oregon was 10. But the problem Auburn faces is not only do they play Oregon, they play four other teams ranked higher than they are, despite being number 9, which is kind of a tall order.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's going to probably come down to whether they can have a really, really good year. It's going to come down to how or if somebody steps up and gets it done at quarterback.
Absolutely. Philip Marshall covering Auburn for Auburn Undercover, the 24/7 website. Philip, thanks so much for the time and info, man. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to that matchup.
Okay, you guys have a great weekend.
Yep, there we go. Good stuff. Philip Marshall and Tim Bielik, Blue Jackets and Auburn Spring Football.
There's all the lowdown you need on Auburn, man. I got the whole roster down now. We're locked and loaded. Let's go. Come on. Opening the season. The Columbus one is cool, though. Like, if you're looking for something to root for, they have three.
I thought there was a chance he would just know top of his head when it's like, how many are returning?
Yeah, you know, like six on the front.
16 total, 22.
Right, right.
Nope.
This many guys. But Columbus does have three former Portland Winterhawks playing for their team and all playing at a really high level. They're all big roles and then winning that series. So if you're looking for that kind of rooting interest, not only is it a historic upset of what they did to Tampa, you got the local angle as well.
Hey, let's jump back in. Oregon's spring game is Saturday. I found it very interesting just from a sports perspective. They're making their spring game a big deal. And I'm curious from Duck fan out there, do you feel that as well? That Mario Cristobal and this regime are really pushing and making you excited for something maybe you never cared about in the spring game? Let's talk about that a little bit next on The Fan. Got some NBA playoffs to talk about coming up in the second hour. I didn't see what the text line was doing during the the ticker.
I now know all 87 players on Auburn's football team. I got them all down. KJ, their linebacker, he's good. He's a stud.
Somebody said, let me see if I can find this.
Isn't that like learning the multiplication tables down in SEC country for everybody?
What's the two deep at the linebacker position?
Yeah, somebody said, how boring is SEC radio? I'm not kidding. I've looked around a little bit to some shows. That is a really good snapshot of what a lot of shows are down there.
That's what Feinbaum does year round. Let's break down the backup cornerback at Alabama.
You know, we got the two deep and Clemson coming back.
He's a four-star. So
it started off with a lot of – I was really optimistic about that because he came on with the twang.
Yeah, whenever you get the Southern accent, it's an immediate hit.
And then there are a lot of uhs. And when he said, I don't know off the top of my head, I didn't think he would actually start naming every player.
Let me go through the depth chart with you one by one. That game's going to be awesome, though. I am jacked up on Mountain Dew for it.
I just thought it'd be good to touch base. They had their spring game.
Yeah, what the hell?
Joey Gatewood, Bo Nix. Remember those names,
those
Duck
are the
fan?
Names.
Those are the two quarterbacks.
Did I also catch you said there's a Cord in there?
Cord Sandberg. He's 24.
Cord Sandberg, a 24-year-old. If he's not getting that job, then maybe hang it up, Cord, if you're 24.
Or just go back to being an assistant coach.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's probably what you were.
Have that wavy hair and go be a grad assistant.
From what I read, Gatewood is the 6'5 kid, and he might be a little mobile, and I think Bo Nix is the dual threat kid.
Gotcha, okay.
So there's a slight difference between the two, but the offensive line and the defensive line coming back is the cause for concern, I think, if you're a Duck fan, because in the past, and this is the difference, though, is you haven't stacked up well in those areas with SEC teams.
Yeah.
So it's, okay, Mario Cristobal, year two, where are you at with that? With that talent, how do you stack up now? Because that Auburn defensive line was really good last year.
And they're all back.
And they're all back. Yeah. And then the offensive line he mentioned are all back, including a maybe first-round pick at left tackle.
Not bad.
So with that being said, Oregon's spring game is Saturday. And we're going to have a lot of coverage here on The Fan.
I feel like, and I'm not even, this isn't like an original thought. I think it's obvious that Mario Cristobal understands the importance of culture in building a program. And part of that is building the spring game.
Mm-hmm.
And the spring game to me seems like it actually matters now for Oregon fan. Whereas in years past, and maybe a couple years with Chip for sure, but primarily it wasn't really that big of a concern. I'll give Oregon fan this, and they at least show up. Where Oregon State fan doesn't, and Oregon State fan has asked to, actually had a lot of years too where they couldn't have a spring game because of health.
Yeah, they would just have a scrimmage.
But like, I think he is elevated in Eugene to the point, Dirt, where you might be damn near close to a sellout. I might be wrong on that, but it feels like the buzz is getting to a level that you see in SEC culture. SEC land.
I'm genuinely curious to see how many people are there this weekend because they have put more time and effort into this spring game than any spring. I've been following Oregon spring football for a long time, and I've never seen this much excitement and anticipation about a game. I think the things go hand in hand. When you have big-time guys coming back for another year, you're going into a season with high expectations, and then you have a coaching staff that clearly takes it seriously, and they want that building to be packed, and they're doing everything they can to put butts in the seats. You're going to get this level of excitement. And to me, as I was saying earlier, I think it's really cool. Like sometimes we make fun of certain places like Nebraska sells out their spring game every year. They get like 90,000 people to go and watch, on a random weekend in April. And some people like to make fun of that. I think it's really cool. The best part about it to me is the fact that you can get in for free. You can park for free. They want you to bring a couple of cans of food, but those tickets are expensive. Like you go through a year, there's only 6 or 7 home games. You got to drop a lot of money if you want to take you, your family, and your kids down to a game. We talk about that all the time. Just the cost of attending sporting events. It's free. Now, granted, it's not a real game. I understand that, but you get the odds and atmosphere. You get to see a lot of the big-time guys play. You get to see the freshmen, the incoming guys, and they've done a great job of really inviting a lot of the alumni back. And he's been tweeting pictures all week, all the former players that have been in town talking to the team, hanging out for a couple of days at practice, the NFL guys that are around. They've really turned this into an event, and as a fan, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think there is something to it, though, right? A guy that comes from Miami, coaches his way up the ranks, and obviously, the Florida International job didn't go how he wanted to. It was a tough situation, but then he lands at Alabama, and he's there for a few years. And being at Miami and Alabama, I think you're in awe of the commitment from the fans. You know, Miami might not have that right now. Maybe they build that back up with Manny Diaz, mm-hmm. but Alabama has it every year, right? You mentioned Nebraska, who's been going through their ups and their downs. That's a big deal for him. And look, it may not mean everything, but you're fooling yourself if you think it means nothing. It absolutely does. They're going to have DJ Ugalele in, the number one quarterback in 2020.
I think he's the number one player in the country.
There you go. I believe I read that he is considering Clemson probably a little more than others. He's going to be there. And if he shows up and Autzen is 90 to 100% full, and the energy is going to be amazing. You know, Aaron Feld's going to be out there shirtless, clapping
yeah,
his hands.
Out, yeah.
That matters. Like, go ask Kayvon Thibodeau. If he would have come for the UW game and it wouldn't have been as energetic and they would have lost, is he coming to Oregon?
Right, maybe not.
Right? Maybe not. So that stuff can matter in the big picture. And the one thing I've given Cristobal so much credit for is he is bringing that attitude and that view of college football to Eugene. And I know Chip brought the winning and the success and it changed everything for Oregon, but Chip didn't go into that part of it. You know, Chip just wanted to coach football and
sure, he didn't. Yeah,
that was it.
Right, the program building wasn't an aspect.
No, and I think that's an important thing and it's something for fans to care about. It's no different to me than kind of Damian Lillard. He cares about the community. He cares about being the face of this franchise and rocking the jersey. I think Cristobal carries the same kind of attitude and mindset of it's not specifically just the game. It's all of these things combined help you build a program to the level you want to compete in the college football playoff.
Right. We always have to hear complaints about, well, it just doesn't mean as much. We just don't care as much on the West Coast as people do on the East Coast. I'm really hoping for a big number just to point to that and say, really, it people do care out here. You got to put on a good product. You got to make it a fun event for the family. You got to make it obviously free and easy to get to, easy to access, but you can get a good number of people to come to a spring game. The weather's going to be nice. Sometimes you get one of these spring game weekends and it's just raining and it's terrible weather. I had a handful of those when I was at Oregon. You're going to get good weather this weekend. Turning it into a big event is great. And as you mentioned, the recruiting impact of it, is big. I mean, that's the lifeblood of football programs. It's probably the biggest strength of Mario Cristobal so far as a head coach is his ability to recruit. And there's going to be a ton of recruits in town this weekend. So if you put on a good atmosphere and everybody's yelling and it's a lot of fun and they really enjoy their time, that's a big step because, you know, all those guys are going to be back for an actual game in the fall. But you give them this experience of a scrimmage, that's going to leave a lasting memory.
Yeah, somebody texted the Better You Today text line, I'm going with my kid, but think we should pump the brakes on saying the stadium could be sold out or 90% full. Maybe we do. But even 70 or 80, I mean, that is still pretty damn impressive for Oregon.
I think the number they're hoping to hit, just in guesstimation, is like 35,000. Nossen holds, what, 56?
Okay, so that's
slightly over half full. But
so about 60%.
It could end up being more than that. And a listener did point out, I'd forgotten about this too, there's going to be a handful of former Alabama players in town. Calvin Ridley's come into the game. Just to come, he just wants to see.
So maybe it's not this year that gets to the number. Maybe, okay, so I will take it back then. So you don't get to that number. It doesn't matter, though, because maybe you're building it to the point where you get to that number.
Well, and that's just a guesstimation. They don't sell tickets, so nobody knows how many people are going to show up.
We'll see when the cameras are on you're kind of panning around. I know you're going to be down there
with
Dusty.
I'll tweet it out before the game.
Just
do a
spin around with one of the videos on Instagram or something to kind of get a real feel of what that is going to be like around kickoff time because – you mentioned Alabama players. You mentioned former Oregon Ducks are going to be down there, the number one player overall in 2020. This matters, man. It really does. And this is coming from a Beaver fan. I forgot their spring game was Saturday.
Yeah, their spring game Saturday too.
So to have a buzz like this, it does mean a lot. It does matter. And I think Mario Cristobal recognizes that immensely. All right, we got a loaded second hour. Let's start it with some NBA playoffs. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.